Here's a pleasant ditty I'll sing you if you please. 'Tis of a Presbyterian that dealt in rotten cheese. Nay, and female flesh to boot, oh, he sweetly would salute the girls at pleasure, out of measure, and without dispute. He would make sure of each maiden head, sometimes whilst his sweet wife she was sleeping in her bed. He fairly laid them down in silk or russet gown. A loving brother, such another, scarce is in the town. Friends, this Presbyterian was always so devout that he obtained his end when the same he went about, having such a cunning way that they could not say him nay. For as he entered, soon they ventured for to sport and play, until their aprons grew short before, and thus it seemed he served about 10 or 12 or more. For faith he laid them down in silk or russet gown, a loving brother, such another scarce is in the town. If a youthful damsel once came to live with him, before a month was ended, he'd stroke her limb by limb. Though she cried out, fie for shame, master, master, oh my dame, 'tis all a case, sir, he'd embrace her and pursue the game. Till he had cropped the dear virgin rose, it pleased the pretty girl's loving friends, we may suppose. For faith he laid them down in silk or russet gown, a loving brother, such another scarce is in the town. Thus with pretty lasses he lavished all his store, and had not pleased his wife for a year or two or more. Neither morning, noon, or night could she have the least delight. This truly vexed her and perplexed her, very well it might, because she could not enjoy a crumb. For when to bed he came, straight to her he'd turn his bum, and would not lay her down. This made the woman frown. A wicked brother, such another scarce is in the town. Oh, this non-performance did persecute her mind. Poor creature, she was troubled that he was so unkind. Being full of discontent, to a cunning man she went, to know the reason such a season should her joys prevent. The cunning man made her this reply: a charm lies in his breeches which does your joys deny. Oh, break the charm, she cried, you shall be satisfied. This guinea, take it, if you break it, 20 more beside. Mistress, never doubt it, I'll break the cunning charm. I thank ye, yet be careful, you do his things no harm. No, I won't, upon my life, as you are a married wife. You need not fear me, all that's near me knows my skill is rife. Home she returned, yet nevertheless her Presbyterian husband the damsels did caress. He fairly laid them down in silk or russet gown, a loving brother, such another scarce is in the town. While he used this practice, whenever he discerned their bellies grew insipid, he gave them what they'd earned, and a crown or two beside, if they would be satisfied. But this disaster of the master Nancy would not hide, but made him keep her the lying in, and take her child to boot. Oh, this made a horrid din. The wife began to frown and cussed him up and down. A wicked brother, such another scarce is in the town. From the very pulpit the honest preacher he gave him a sharp reproof for his gross debauchery. Nay, before the brethren he declared it was a sin. Yet being tardy, he was hardy, thus through thick and thin. He was resolved henceforth to run, and ne'ertheless repented the deed which he had done. But fairly laid them down in silk and russet gown. A loving brother, such another, scarce is in the town. Quoth his wife, "Now I find the charm that kept him back from yielding me the pleasure that I so long did lack. I might well be served so when he did to others go. It is a pity one that's pretty should be kept so low. Yet if he does not pay this old score, I'll fit him for his fancy, but mum for that no more. I'd make him lie me down, or else on him I'd frown. A wicked brother, such another, scarce is in the town."